It feels good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, it just feels good. Amen. Goodness gracious, it feels good. There is a presence in this place. Miss Northick, when you came in today, didn't you just feel it this morning? It was in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today is Palm Sunday.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's also called Passion Sunday.
Yep.
Passion Sunday.
You have a passion this morning.
Woo, been feeling the passion in this place, haven't we?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Oh, man. Sometimes pastors just hard to start.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I love it.
Amen.
I'm so excited. I feel like I'm about to blow up. I want to read something. John chapter 12, verse 13. Let's put this up on there. This is Palm Sunday. This is the entrance. Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. It says they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you can just feel the excitement in the air on that with that verse. The passion that is in that place, that is out there in the streets. Amen. You can just feel it. When you read that verse, they're crying out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They were excited. The passion that was being felt. I love that verse. Today, I want to talk about passion. I want to talk about that today. So turn with me. I want to read some scripture, some more word here. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read a few verses. Try not to sniffle too much in the microphone. Sorry, Tina. She tells me I do that sometimes too much. We're going to start with verse 3. I can just read up here. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth on earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I love that. Here we go. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. That's okay, keep going. It's good. You're good. I did a great job. And the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Hallelujah. I want to pray, and we're going to get into this message. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done in this service already preparing us and molding us and doing already so much in our hearts and our lives. God, I want to be obedient to exactly what you've spoken to me to speak today through your word. So right now, here's what I want to pray, Father, that you would cultivate the ears today to hear your word. Lord, work in each of our eyes to see, to feel what you are doing in this place, God. Right now, I come against the enemy that has been trying to steal the words from this place, from our ears. I come against the attacks of the enemy that have been trying to steal from seeing what you're doing in this place, God. Right now, I come against the enemy that has been trying to steal the feeling of your presence in this place, God. I bind it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, come in this place even stronger, God. Fill our hearts, God. Tune our ears to hear, Father. Speak to us today through your word, Lord. God, I thank you for it. Move me out of the way, Lord. And you speak, God. I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come up here and do this. I want to honor you, Lord, with this word. And God, I pray it just goes out like it needs to go out, Father, and everyone hears it as it needs to be heard, Lord. I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Passion. I love it. You know, passion drives you. It moves you. Now, let me tell you something. I know you have had a lot of, you've heard a lot about my animals. Yeah, I went from the scriptures to my animals. Okay, just follow along with me, okay? Deal with it. I love my animals, all right? But you know, it's a lot of work. I got my sweet, me and Amber, God's laid on our hearts about, 5 years ago to start getting some chickens. Started with some chickens. We said, how hard could it be? So we just went to the pet store and we got some chickens. And we got we said, what do we need to get some chickens? To grow them, to not kill them. What do we need? And they gave us the little food bags. They gave us the little water troughs, the little lights and stuff to keep them warm. And we started working at it and working at them. And we managed to keep most of them alive except from the foxes and some of the hawks. And then, I got a hold of the one rooster that y'all have heard about a lot of. But, you know, even chickens are some work. You got to go out there and you got to collect eggs. You got to clean the pens. And you got to clean the pens. And then you got to clean the pens because they're messy. And you got to work at them. You got to feed them every morning all the time. You got to pay attention to them. You got to focus in on them. It's work. All right. But I love it. I love my chickens. I do. We even had some ducks. And the foxes got the ducks. It's okay. I got the fox. My neighbor wasn't happy, but I don't care. He's getting my chickens and my ducks. It's all right. So it's work. But you know, then God began to lay on mine and Amber's hearts about going to the next level. Let's get some goats. And so we got two little Nigerian dwarf goats. No idea what we're doing. No idea what's ahead. But we just said, you know what? We're just going to go with this. And so we got them little those little goats, Woody and Bo Peep. And they are so fantastic. We had so much fun with them right at the very beginning. We are being bottle fed. And so we are excited for a day or two. And then we started really feeling the work that was coming in place, right? Getting up early in the morning. Yeah, you know the kids lost a lot of passion right at the beginning. They're like, okay, a couple days of it, we're good. So guess who's got to get up and do it? Me and Amber. Amber did. She got up with something. We both worked at it. Get up early in the mornings, late at night, feeding them bottle feed. Oh, you know, we're groggy. It's work. It's work. But we loved it. It's work, right? And then we said, okay, now we got the goat situated. God, what do you have next? And I started talking to Brother North about a cow. God said, not yet. Let's hold off on that one. You know, we're both excited about it. We're talking about it. We talked about it a bunch. But God's like, no, let's not do that one just yet. You ain't ready. Thank you, Lord. Then I got my, then we said, okay, I said, okay, God, then what do you want me to do? He said, get some pigs. Okay, we'll feed my family. Great. So I got two little pigs, Shrek and Fiona. Name fits them well. They are ugly. They know it, so it's okay. Shrek and Fiona, we got them in, and those little things were so loud and squealing. You pick them up, and they were loud. I got a picture of Amber trying to hold one of them when we first got them. It was great. And then so they get going, and then we moved from Burleson to Grandview. Now, Junior had to be a part of this one where we had to wrangle them little hogs up. You know, the goats weren't that big of a deal. I could just get down there and manhandle them little suckers. But now the pigs, it's a whole different ball game. You just don't manhandle a big old pig. You just can't, okay? And Shrek, he's a dude. He is like, food, I'm in it. So I just throw some food in the cage, and he just went off in the cage to load him up to move him. Well, Fiona's a totally different story. She did not want to get in that cage. She's a smart one, okay? So what I took, and I text Junior, I said, Junior, I just need your help to help get my animals in the cages. It probably only take 30, 40 minutes at the most. Yeah. Work! 3-4 hours later, I think Michelle even got in on that one. We're sweating. Summertime was hot, nasty, because we had the stench of the animals and the stench of ourselves. It was bad, right? We finally got them in the pens. Finally. It's work. Got them over to Grandview, had to build the pens, got work, work, feeding them, work. Dad started getting involved heavily, going out and feeding them, walking out there, work. So then we finally get to our place in Grandview. We finally move into our property God blessed us with. Thank you, Jesus. And then they all got comfortable and happy and started multiplying. It's great. So a couple of months back, we started seeing some signs, and we're like, yeah, it's exciting. We're about to have babies. No idea what we're still doing. We don't know. We just know we feed them, right? And then they just see what they're going to do. So they work. So we get the day came. All of a sudden, it was Saturday, two Saturdays ago. We're working, and all of a sudden, Amber starts screaming, we got babies! You know, so we all run into the pens, and there we are. We had two little newborn little goats that just flopped out. And, you know, and again, we have no idea what we're doing, but it's a lot of unknowns. It's work. It's involved. And there's, you know, and I was not raised in the farm, so I have no idea all the ins and outs of being a part of any kind of animals, having other animals. There's a lot of stuff that happens that I don't know how to deal with. And so all our gears shift from what we're trying to do to deal with the babies. We're calling a guy that we bought them from, Pastor R.A. Evans. I'm like, what's going on? There is all kinds of stuff. And I don't know what to do with that stuff. Is it natural? What's going on? I don't understand. You know, we're YouTubing it. We're going through the whole thing trying to figure out what's going on. And we get it all together. Those little babies, they live. They're, thank you, Jesus. We moved them into our shop, and they're alive, and they're well. They're growing. They're doing good. About a week later, early Thursday morning, we knew Fiona was getting ready. We had no idea when. We didn't know the dates or anything like that. Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still learning all this as I go. And we tried to do research. We've tried to do stuff because it's a lot to it. Okay? So Fiona, I wake up Thursday morning and here's Fiona. I'm going somewhere with all this, so just stay with me, okay? So Thursday morning, I wake up and I hear the little squeal from the pens. And I'm like, oh, he got baby pigs! I got so excited, ran out there. Hey, sure as the world, we've got a couple little baby pigs coming out. Now I'm like grabbing my phone, trying to film it. Well, you know, one of them being birthed. It's incredible. It's exciting. So even though it was exciting at the very moment, after that, it became a lot more work.
Yes, it does.
It's work. So not only did Mama end up, we had some issues with some of the babies. They didn't make it. Birthing issues. One was stillborn, a couple of them. Well, okay, just it was, didn't make it. So we had, there was eight total. Then we had five. Okay, at the end, by the time, by Friday afternoon, we had five. Well, one was really sick, and Amber was having to hold it and try to keep it calm because it was shaking. It couldn't hardly breathe. We knew that thing was not going to make it. So I had to go. We had to make a decision. Okay, do we just let it do what it's going to do, or I just need to go handle it, take it out, go take care of it? Well, I went and just took care of it. Now, as a man, I'm walking out there on the inside of my, I'm screaming on the inside, this is horrible. This is where I don't want to be doing this. Now, on the outside, I'm thinking, oh, I got this. Let me just go take care of it. But on the inside, I'm dying, okay? This is a cute little piggy that I'm about to go take care of. Walk out there, take care of it, and I'm walking back. And, of course, Coral and Michelle are there, and Amber's there, and I'm trying to be all tough, right? But on the inside, I'm just like, this is horrible. I do not like this farming stuff. This is not fun, okay? It's not fun at all. So then we get, so now we're down to four piglets. And those four piglets now, naturally, were supposed to, they're supposed to be taken care of by Mama. Well, Mama, because of these other issues, rejected those babies. So now, it's more work. So now we've got these other little babies that we're watching after, and we've got these four little babies that don't like to be handled, don't like to be touched, but we've got to touch them and feed them. We start having to use a little injector thingy to feed them, and now we're doing this every 3 hours, early morning, just every 3 hours, we're having to feed these little guys. Work, 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 work. Did not expect it, but it was work, 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 work. I can't explain to you. It's just a lot of work. Am I getting that point across? It's a lot of work. But you know, the thing is that was so exciting, though, through the whole thing, I had such a passion about it because I knew what God was doing in all this. God gave us a vision of this, and we're seeing it through. And so passion got us up in the mornings to handle the business and take care of it. Amen? Passion got us where in the middle of the night I texted my daughter, hey, would you please feed the animals? Michelle's like, yes, yes, that's truth. He does. It's passion. Make sure it's taken care of. You rock, Michelle. You're a rock star. Passion. You know, when you think about passion and we get involved with things, there's a lot of work in it. Because what happens when passion, we get passionate about something, we get excited about it. And it drives us, right? I think about that. I think about Michelle with her drawing. You know, when she's practicing and working at her artwork, right? Yeah. It's work practicing that artwork. I asked her that day. I said, do you ever hands ever like cramp up really bad at all that? She goes, all the time. It's work. It's hard work. But her passion drives that. Drives her to push past all that. Amen? You think about that. And the same thing with in a marriage. Passion. You have passion. Oh, passion in a marriage is absolutely vital. You got to have passion. Because marriage takes work. Right? But the passion absolutely overrides all that work. You desire to do that work. When there is passion there, you desire to serve in your marriage. You want to go help. You want to do. But what happens, stay with me, what happens in the marriage, if you lose passion, but just, and it goes with anything across the board, if you lose that passion, what do you have left?
Work.
And you know, if that's all that's there in a marriage, you know how healthy that marriage will be? It's not going to be very healthy. If all I had in my mind was work, work, work with these animals, it would be horrible. I wouldn't be having animals. Some of it would already been processed. I'm just saying. I almost, when we're trying to get them from John Tina's house to our house, some of those pigs, they're being super, super frustrating. Amber, we took us hours to get Fiona back in that cage to get her onto our property. You should have saw Amber. She was running all over John and Tina's field. Tina's in the window watching us, and she's just laughing. She's videoing us. She's... It's work.
She didn't have the passion.
No, she didn't have no passion for no animals. See, the thing that happens, though, is the same concept with church and our walk with the Lord. See, passion drives us, and it gets us excited about doing for the Lord. It gets us excited, it gets us visions about things, and it gets us wanting to do and stirs our hearts to do things, right? And so we begin to serve in the church, and we begin to dive into the Word of God, and we try to start working and doing, and it's work. It's work. It's a lot of hard work. It's not easy. And so what happens, and we see it, I see it, and I've had it happen, where passion begins to fall off. And what's left is work. And when work is just there, and that's all there is just work, we can't receive. We can't grow. We find ourselves, just like the scripture is saying, God starts throwing these seeds at us, but we're not hearing it. Come here, Andrew. See what happens when all we got is work at church. What happens is this, is on Sunday mornings, God's trying to throw seeds at us. But all we got in our mind is work. I was looking forward to throwing seeds at him. And so what happens is God's trying to throw seeds at us. But all we got on our mind is how much work is we've got to do. Throw some. Where's Bradley? All we got is. So he's throwing seeds at us. But what happens is we got our minds everywhere else.
Amen.
Yes. And we're stony ground. And we're not getting cultivated. We're not being used. We're not seeing fruit from those seeds that are coming at us. Every day God's throwing seeds at us. When you're scrolling through Facebook and you see those little scriptures that Brother Tony's putting out up there, he's throwing seeds at us. But if we're so busy, caught up with our work. I missed you. We're not seeing it. So what happens is every time God's throwing these seeds at us, it just keeps on going to the ground versus doing what it's supposed to be doing. So today, let's talk about cultivating our passion. Now, that was a long intro. Thank you. Sit down. So I'm not going to be a whole long on my next few things. But it's so important. I don't know. We'll see. I got things to throw at you, so I'm going to keep you awake one way or the other. Okay, Miss Waller. Okay, don't worry, Pastor. We'll clean it up. It's work. It's got it. We got it. I'm passionate about the message. I don't care. It's cool. So we got to cultivate our passion. We have to fuel this passion. We got to stay on focus on this. It's just like in our marriage. We have to work at that passion. You got to invest in that passion, right? You know what the Word of God does? It tells us how to cultivate that passion.
All right, all right.
It does. It's incredible. No, you can't throw it back at me. It tells us how to cultivate our passion. It's wonders. There's one scripture. It's amazing. It's incredible. And I'm sure if you've been in church long enough, you've heard it a dozen times. It's cultivated my passion for years and years and years and years. Let's read it. Go to 2 Chronicles.
Wow. Good.
2 Chronicles. What? 7:14. Well, we've heard this one a dozen times, haven't we? Probably more. But how many times do we overlook it? And we just say, oh, that's a nice, sweet scripture. It says, if my people who are called by my name. Now, let me stop right there for a second. I've heard preachers try to preach this and say this is not for us. I don't understand how they get that, because God gave it to Solomon for the Israelites, for us, for our people. It's a promise for the Christians, for the church, for us. Amen. You know, it's so funny. You can the enemy wants to steal scriptures. And get them all religified. The Bible just says, it's so if my people, who is his people?
We are
his people who are called by my name. That's us. What is the very first? This is incredible. You know, I love this because this is like the how-to YouTube video right here of cultivating our passion. It's the TikTok life hack in the Bible right here. It's right there. How to cultivate our passion. It's so simple, yet so hard sometimes for some folks. It's work. First thing is this. It says, what's the very first thing it tells us to do? If my people who are called by my name will
humble
themselves. Surrender. That's it. Go with me. Let's read a verse here. Actually, let me tell you a story. My wife set me straight. She's got so much wisdom. She's incredible. She's my rock. She's amazing. She stirs me up, man. She's incredible. She said 3 little simple words to me, changed my it was incredible. I went home and I was venting. I was just throwing up all kinds of stupidity. I was just venting. I had a bad day. It was long. And I was just, you know, I don't like my job. I don't like doing this. I feel like I'm wasting my life. And I said that. I said, I feel like I'm wasting so much time. You know what she said? She said, but you're not. Now, I stopped and pondered that for a second. And the Holy Spirit just said, you're not wasting your time. I put you at that job to provide for your family. I had to set, God set me straight. You're right, Lord. You're right, Amber. You're right. And I said that. I said, you know what? You're right. I'll shut up. But see, the thing is, the enemy wants us distracted. He wants us our attention on all the other things. He wants us to focus on the work. And men, when he does that, boy, he gets us. Because, boy, we can dwell on that so fast. The work. It's a lot of work. Pastor, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Brother Norris, it's a lot. Miss Norris, it's a lot of work, isn't it? Miss Deborah, it's a lot of work. Y'all, Miss Deborah's incredible. She's behind the scenes working. Woo! Incredible. It's work. She's got a passion for it. That's why she does it. But I guarantee it, if all she saw was what she's done and had her mind all of a sudden start wondering all that, oh, it's work, 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 I guarantee her passion is going to start dwindling. Because that's what happens. That's what the enemy wants. Let's read some scripture. Colossians 3:12. Let's read that real quick here. Colossians 3:12. I'm glad you didn't read my notes there and try to spell how I spell Colossians. I wasn't going to say it, Jennifer. You stay back there. I did. I had collisions. Okay. Y'all stop. Okay, let's read. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Oh, come on. Ephesians, I like this one version I've got here. Says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and humility. Wrap yourselves up with humility. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble. And gentle, patience, bearing with one another in love. What is that one? You got that one? Ephesians 4:2. Okay. All right. Be completely. Is that right? Am I missing it right? Okay, that's what it is, the different version. Got it. For to be completely, I like my version. Be completely humble. That's what I love it. Be completely humble. Okay. Be completely humble and gentle. I love that. Be completely. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself before the Lord. I think about these scriptures, and I think about how the enemy loves to absolutely distract us and pull our attention on the work, on other areas and other situations at the church to try to steal our joy, to steal our passion. Word of God tells us, he distracts us with all kinds of things. He distracts us with other people's problems. Jesus tells us straight up, Matthew 7 says, look, before you start looking at those little specks in their eyes, pull your plank out of your own eye. You deal with your own issues first. You know how fast we can miss what God is wanting to do in our church services if you came in thinking all kinds of things and having our minds on everybody else's problems? You can miss it so fast, but I'm telling you, seeds being thrown every Sunday. Every Sunday. Who can I throw this at? I'm going to kick back over here. See, what happens when we come into church on Sunday? When we come into church, Brother North, throw at you your fake knee. When we come into church, God is wanting to do something in us. But the enemy wants to distract us, Miss North. Amen. He wants to point all kinds of things out to us. Do you know what? Our lighting system was not the greatest. We got some lights out, some different colored lights. Got some light bulbs out. But enemy loves to point some of those things out, don't he? What about our music? Is it absolutely picturesque, perfect? No. It is pretty close. It's pretty good. Pastor, myself, there's better preachers. There is. Okay. Y'all stop. I'm just saying, okay. Sorry. There's people that they have more skill sets. They have more knowledge. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is, but the enemy comes at us, comes at this church body to tell you that because of the way somebody's preaching, you can't hear it and you can't understand it and you can't get it. Because he's used that on me. He's used that on me with my mom and dad. He used it for years. And the whole time, every single service, God's throwing seed at me. And I'm just letting it fall to the ground. Over and over again. You know why? Because I had an excuse. Okay? Just want to catch one. I had an excuse, and here was my excuse. You ready for it? It's my mom and dad. And I was so used to tuning them out and coming into a service, it was hard for me to tune in. So I used that as an excuse. And so every Sunday, God would throw seed at me through worship service. God would throw as a stupid song. I'm just saying, I'm being real with you. That's an old song. And that's what I heard. And so I didn't receive it, Miss North. That's an old hymn. Why are you bringing out the old hymn? And God is over just trying to chunk seeds at me. Will you get what I'm trying to tell you? But I'm sitting over here, got my mind on how I think it should be, versus receiving what God is trying to do for me. I'm enjoying throwing seed at my son. It's great. It's a lot of passion. That's right.
A lot of passion.
We got to humble ourselves before God. Amen. You talk about cultivating passion. We've got to learn to get before God. When we open up our Bibles, God, show me, teach me, mold me.
Yes, that's it, yes.
Because we can open up some Old Testament and have no idea what's going on. But if you spend a little time, in it. You go a little bit ahead, go read it all the way through. Follow through with it. You're going to grab some incredible knowledge.
Yes, you are.
If you would stop sitting there looking at all the nitpicking little things in the church like the enemy wants and begin to pray, say, God, humble me. Tune my spirit to hear what is happening because I want to grow. That's what he says. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Miss North, I'm not going to sit there and tell you that every single song that we sing is my favorite. You're going to say the same thing.
Yep.
But man, if you will just stop and listen to some of those words.
Amen.
And you begin to open up your mouth and sing those songs and just let those words flow out. Oh, it just begins to change. It begins to cultivate your passion. Humbling yourself before God. Saying, God, I don't know how to do all this. I'm not perfect. I don't understand. Tune my ears. So what I had to do with my mom and dad, I need you to listen to me, young people. I need you to hear me. What I had to do, because dad teaches. He has a style of teaching in his preaching, okay? And you need to follow it. You've got to follow. Stay with it. It's deep. It's incredible. Okay? He don't hoot and holler like I do and walk all over the place and throw things at you. He does sometimes. Yeah, he does. He gets excited. I'm just waiting for one day he's jump on the chair and start getting really get rowdy. But his style is different. Right? So sometimes it takes some tuning in and understanding, okay, he's got a teaching style, so I've got to really zone in. I can't just kind of tune out and try to tune back in. I need to stay with it. I had to learn that with my mom and dad both. I was like, okay, I've got to learn and I got to humble myself. Stop being so stubborn, thinking they're the ones that got to change. I got to change. It's like a marriage. If I'm sitting there praying, God, change your God. God's just going to sit there. I'm waiting for you, buddy. Change me. Humble. Going before your God and saying, God, I need you to cultivate this. Cultivate my ears to hear what you're doing. Amen.
Amen.
Long for correction. I got another scripture and I don't know what the version is up here. So don't put it up there because I don't want to mess everybody up. All right. Don't put it up there. I want to read it real quick. Let me get my code right. Is it locked on me? I love this scripture. I read it this week and it was incredible. James 4:10. No, not that one. Let's go. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge.
Yeah.
The next part, it does say it. It's fantastic. Whoever hates correction
is what?
It's an S word. The Bible said it. Not me. The Bible said it. It says, if you hate correction, stupid. But who loves discipline? See, God wants us to come before him humbly. God, change me, renew me, mold me, shape me, God. Correct me, God. God, if there's a plank in my eye, get it out. When we come into service, if we come into service with a humble heart, what's going to happen, brother? What's going to happen, brother? You got to catch these this time, okay? Don't let them fall. Just catch them. I'm just going to chuck them like this so you can catch them, all right? What happens is when you come into service with a humble heart, when you open the Word of God on Monday morning, when you go before God and praying on your time and your closet time, you begin to receive those seeds that God's pouring out.
Amen. Amen.
Those seeds begin to grow and sink in and get inside you. Because see, here's what's happening. Here's what's brother, catch this. Don't let it drop, okay? There you go. Did you get it? Oh, you didn't get it. It's okay. It's okay, Pastor. You're good. You didn't play baseball. It's okay. Here, he played baseball. Oh, you let that one fall. This ain't working. You're a catcher's mitt. Bree, you're going to be able to catch something? Here, catch something. Okay, there we go. There you go. So what happens is when you begin to, there you go, when you come in to church, when you open up the Word of God with a humble heart, you begin to actually receive what is being done, what is being spoken. The seeds that are being put at you and thrown at you, you can actually receive it and let it be cultivated. You talk about stirring passion. That's how you do it. Because see, the thing is on Sunday mornings, it's not just in the message that seeds are being thrown, Brother North, okay? It's from the beginning when you walk in the door, when you're greeted with love by Miss Cherry. There's seeds being thrown at you. I'm just going to put it right there at your hand because y'all missing them and y'all not helping me with my illustration. You catch this one? Catch it. It was right at you. It's right at you, football player. You get a football player. You begin to be able to actually catch it if you come in humbly. Because when you come in humbly in those doors, when you're greeted with love from His Cherry, she's ministering to you with love. When you're greeted with everybody else, you're greeted with love and you're feeling ministered to. Amen. God's pouring out seeds right there of love and saying you're valued. You are valued. You have purpose. Here, Miss Wallace, let's do it again. You have value. And then what happens as we go into the service? Ooh. You ready? Got it. He's throwing seed at you through worship. He's throwing seed at you. It's okay. I got it. Here you go. I'm right there. I got you. He's putting seeds through worship. Yes. Humbly. God, whatever you have for me today. Right. Opening up your word, humbling yourself before God. Are you following me? Amen. Picking up what I'm laying down.
We are.
You're going to start calling me long-winded. Don't be doing that. I'm gonna chunk stuff at you to keep you awake.
Good.
There was a ship guy coming into, was on the water and was heading in or heading out, and the saw a light ahead of him. The captain gets on the radio and says, "You need to turn your ship, okay, 10 degrees north." Sees the light ahead, and the other end of the radio says, "You need, sir, this is so-and-so name. You need to turn your ship 10 degrees south." Guy gets on the radio. Says, "This is Captain so-and-so. You turn your ship 10 degrees north." Guy on the other side of the radio says, "Sir, this is Lieutenant so-and-so. You need to turn your ship." Sorry, I'm spitting, my bad. "Turn your ship 20 degrees south." Captain gets on the radio. "This is Captain so-and-so, and I'm a battleship. You turn your ship 10 degrees north." Guy gets on the radio and says, "Sir, this is Lieutenant so-and-so. This is a lighthouse. You turn your ship 20 degrees south." Come on, we got to humble ourselves before God.
Amen.
Come on, our pride, our think, the way we think we should think should go, and way gets in our way.
Amen.
You talk about messing up passion for your marriage, passion for your ministry, passion for serving God.
Yes.
God says for us to humbly go before Him. Be teachable, be pliable. And the next thing it says, pray. See, the thing is when we begin to say, "God, mold me, teach me, use me." That's praying.
Yeah.
Getting before God. See, when we begin to humble ourselves, we want to and we desire to start talking to God.
Right.
This begins the desire that starts stirring. God, okay, you know what? Humble me. I want my passion cultivated. I need my passion cultivated. I'm lacking right now. God, I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling distracted. And you begin to talk to God. You know how fast we can get caught up with our lives and not be talking to God. We've been talking about this on Wednesday nights for a long time. for several months now, and we just still feel like we're scratching the surface on prayer. We're about to get into some spiritual warfare. Pray. Pray. Don't forget to pray. When we get caught up, I spent a lot of time on this one already, so I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time, but pray. Yeah. You want to cultivate your passion, yeah. Don't forget to pray. Right. Pray. Spend some time with God. Word of God says, pray continually. Amen. Amen. God, break me down, God, and make me humble. If there's pride in any area of my life, God, take it out. Yeah. I don't want my mind focused on the work. I want my mind focused on you and what you have for me. Amen? Amen. I want your will to be done in my life. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Third thing. This is the step-by-step of cultivating your passion. Y'all with me? Yeah. You still with me? Yeah. Cultivating your passion. Humble yourself. Pray. And it says, seek my face. Oh, we just preached on that one. The whole time, the whole message, seeking God first. See, the thing is when we begin, there's a reason why the Bible tells us to humble ourselves first. We got to get ourselves out of the way. Yeah. Our desires, our problems, our things, blah, 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 out of the way. Yeah. Because when we say, God, I need you to mold me, teach me, mold me, use me. Right. We're talking to God and we're praying. And what happens is when we begin to go after God, we're seeking him. That just naturally comes in.
Right.
We're going after God. We're seeking him. When we open up the Word of God, I'm telling you, when we say, God, humble me, your passion is already beginning to stir.
Yes.
And when you're praying, you're beginning to discover more of God. You're beginning to receive the seeds that God is pouring in you, right? And so what happens is when you begin to seek God, you begin to start knowing God. And when you begin to start knowing God, you begin to start falling in love with him. And then the more you fall in love with him, the more you want to get to know him. The more you get to know him, the more you fall in love with him. And the more you fall in love with him, the more you get to know him, and the more you want to fall in love with him. It's a vicious, incredible, beautiful cycle.
Amen.
I've preached on that a bunch. Because it's so important that we do that. But we can get so caught up with the work that we miss the actually seeking God part. We can get so caught up with everything that's going on in our lives that we forget to actually open up the Word of God and say, God, cultivate me with this Word. But see, the thing is I'm telling you, if we would come into services with this mindset of, God, I want to seek you. I want you in my life, God. I'm humbly coming before you. I promise you, you're going to receive amazing things. You're going to get some serious downloads. That's going to get you pumped and get you ready for your Mondays, get you ready for your Tuesdays. And you know what? If you do this, if you humble yourself on Monday morning and get into the Word of God and seek his face and you pray, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get you ready for your Monday. Hallelujah. It's stirring your passion for God. And here's what happens on the fourth thing. This is a natural occurrence. It's not a purposeful thing. So don't think you just have to absolutely focus on it. Because what happens is when you humble yourself before God, you are praying, you're seeking God. Here's what happens. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, Brother North. God begins to speak to you.
Amen.
Your ears begin to tune in to what he's saying. Because the seeds that have been spoken to you, you're being able to receive them and get them in your spirit. And you know what happens? He begins to help teach you and show you things that you need to begin to work on.
Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful. He starts showing you, hey, let's work on this pride now. Let's really work on this. Let's work on this addiction. You've been struggling with this area for a long time. Now let's work on this. It says, turn from your wicked ways.
Yeah.
And he's talking to the church.
Yes.
He's talking to the church. He says, turn from. You know what that means? Repent.
Yeah.
It's not a religious thing. Oh, I've heard people come at and say, oh, that's religious. Repentance is us saying, God, you're right. This plank in my eye needs to get worked on.
Amen.
And I need to be cultivated from this thing. I need work
Hallelujah.
On this thing.
Amen.
cultivating passion, allowing God to come in your life and dig inside you. And when that happens, our passion is already beginning to stir. We're already humble and bowing before him. We've been seeking his face, right? Then he wants to start telling you, hey, okay, let's open up that closet.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
It's that closet that you got dead, bolted, padlocked, chained up. You don't want nobody in that closet. See, the thing is when we get before God and we're just chasing after him, it starts preparing our hearts to be able to unlock the door for God.
Amen. Amen.
You know what happens when we unlock that door for God? He comes in, turns the light on, and starts helping us clean out the closet.
Yes, he does.
He comes in, says, okay, let's start working on this one. Let's take this.
Yeah.
He starts showing us these little areas of how to deal with certain things. Word of God tells us to confess one to another. Ironing, sharpening iron. Certain things in our lives, we need people beside us, godly people, that we need to confess to.
Yes.
We don't need to confess to everybody. Okay? But finding somebody, because sometimes there's a lot of things in those closets that you need some accountability for.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
But you talk about cultivating your passion. Cultivating passion is getting in that closet, saying, God, I need to deal with this. Because I want so much more passion for you, God. I want to run the race that you've called me to do. I don't want anything hindering me anymore. Dealing with those things are not easy. But it's absolutely vital for growth. It is absolutely vital that you allow God in and tell him, "This is, I'm sorry for this." Pornography addiction. Alcohol addiction. Tobacco addiction. Fear. Apathy. All kinds of things can be in that closet that you're trying to hide, trying to put a face on. The church is for healing. The church is for people that are going through all this stuff. Every one of us in this room have got issues. All of us have different closets. Whether they're open or not, it's a different story. Boy, I've had to open up some ugly closets in my life. I've had to confess. I've had to do. I've had to walk through healing. It's hard. But I'm here preaching the gospel because I decided to open up and deal with issues. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Passion. We've got to cultivate it.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us the how-to right there. Humble ourselves. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways.
Amen.
Galen, come on. Where you at? Galen, you still here? Galen, come on down here and play, brother. I'm winding down. Hallelujah. Man, pray continuously. Seek him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If my people would cultivate their passion, I'll come in and I'll stir their land. The Bible says if you will do this, it's the how-to, and it's a promise from God. It says, if you'll pray, you'll seek my face. You'll humble yourself. You got issues just like we all do. We all got learning to do. I know I do. Hallelujah. He'll come in and stir you up. His promise says, I will heal your land. I love that. Lots of land needs healing. Lots of areas in our lives need healing. But when we do this and when we seek God, we'll humble ourselves, just like the word says. It says He'll heal our land. He'll come in, stir a fire in us. It says, if you do this, if you do this, Junior, if you do this, Brother John, if you do this, Michelle, if you do this, Coral, if you do this, Miss North, woo, if you do this, doesn't say if your pastor does it for you. Pastor Hall can't do that for you. Pastor B can't do that for you. Miss North, she can't do that for you. It's on you. You have to cultivate your passion. And the Bible is so easy. It shows it right there. Instructions. It's not a long-term thing. It just says, God, I'm humbling before you. I don't know how to do this. I don't have it figured out by any means. God, teach me. Mold me. Show me who you are, God. Yes. Yes. Teach me your ways, Father. Yes. God, I want to seek your face. Show me, God, who you are. Because see, the thing is when we do this, if our eyes are on work and we don't have passion, we see, but we don't see. We hear, but we don't hear. We feel, but we don't feel. See, the thing is if you're stirring and you're cultivating your passion and you're working at this thing, you're seeking God, you're praying, you're spending time with God, you're cultivating your passion, you are paying attention, your purpose, you're waking up, you're making time, you're getting in it with your walk with God. What happens, Brother North, is you begin to see. You truly begin to hear the Word of God. You truly begin to feel the presence of God that is in this service every Sunday. You feel His presence when you open up the Word of God in your house. When you get before God, you feel it. You see it. You hear it. Word of God says, those who have ears, let them hear. The enemy has had an attack on this church for some time with our hearing, with our feeling. And with our singing. And I'm coming against it in Jesus' name. It's time this church rises up and steps into the place that God's called each and every one of us to be in. Cultivate the passion. Every morning, every night. Let that be a focal point of your life. Let me finish with this. John chapter 12, verse 19. Passion Sunday. Passion Sunday. So the Pharisees, I just love this. I read this and just stirred me. So good. So the Pharisees said to one another. Now look, wait. Don't read it. Stop. Don't read. Look. I picture the Pharisees like this. So when you read it, picture the Pharisees. Okay? See? This is getting us nowhere. What does the next thing say? Look how the whole world has gone after him. Oh, he's talking about Jesus. I'm telling you, I want every devil in hell saying the same thing. Says, look at him. This ain't getting me nowhere. Everywhere he goes, he's shining the light. His passion is burning so bright. Oh, come on, somebody stand to your feet in this place. See, passion gets us at the edge of our seats where we can't sit still when the word of God is being spoken. Passion gets us at the edge of our seat in anticipation of what is being said next. Passion births vision. Passion says, what's next, God? What do you want me to do next with these hands that you've given me? Passion drives us. It's not work. Woo! It's passion, man. Let it drive you. Cultivate your passion. So when the enemy comes in and trying to do something at you, he just sits back as well. That's getting me nowhere. I love it. It's getting me nowhere. Because when the enemy, when your passion is thriving, enemy's trying to throw all kinds of stuff at you, but it's just going nowhere. Because all your mindset is going after the king and doing the work. That's all your mind is on. It's not about this or that. It's about the kingdom. It's about running the race that God has set before you. God, tune our ears. God, tune our ears to hear your word, Lord. Tune our ears, God. Cultivate us in this place right now, God. Cultivate our spirits. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, if you've been struggling with your passion, can you be bold enough to come down to this front? Can you say, yeah, I need this? Come on, I ain't playing, let's go. If you've been struggling with your passion, let's just get before God. Let's humbly go before him in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, right now, everybody in this place, God, right now, every hand raised in this place, I don't have to put my hands on you right now. God is moving in this place. With every hand raised, every heart open, right now, in the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Receive that fire. Receive that fire. In Jesus' name. Right now, the Holy Spirit is pouring out. Father, right now, I pray right now, just saturate us in this place. God, we are coming humbly before you. I don't want to do this without you. I don't ever want to walk without you, God. I don't know how. I don't want to, because I need you. I need your passion. I need your love. I need your grace. I need you in the name of Jesus. Greeter, Miss Cherry. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, fire right now in the name of Jesus. This is a you getting before God thing. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Now, right now, here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do is we're going to go through this prayer. You guys ready? We're going to go through the scripture. Ready? Father, right now, we just come before you humbly. God, humble our hearts, Lord. Oh, we thank you, God. Lord, the word of God says for us to come humbly before you. And so right now, that's what we're doing, God. We're humbly coming before you. Humble our hearts, Lord. Right now, any pride, anything that's getting in the way of you working in my life, God, get it out in Jesus' name. Humble us, God. Humble this ministry. Humble this church, God. Humble the leaders in this church, God. Humble every person that's serving in this church. Humble everyone that calls this church home in Jesus' name. Lord, we need you. We want you. We can't do this thing without you. We have no desire to do it without you, God. God, we need you every day. God, stir our hearts to spend more time with you. Lord, right now we're praying and we're just getting before you, doing what your word has called us to do. Father, we need you. We love you, God. Lord, we love you. We praise you in this place. God, we worship you, God. The word of God says to pray. And that's just talking to him. Oh, show us, Lord. Show us who you are, God. Right now we're seeking your face. Show us who you are, God. Reveal us. Lord, I pray you tune our ears to hear you. Tune our ears, God, tune our eyes to see you, Father, to sense you, to feel you, Father. Stir our passion, God. And final thing is this. Open up that closet. I want you to begin to pray. Ask God, whatever's holding you back, whatever issue, whatever thing's going on in your life, ask him to reveal it to you. Most of you already know what's going on, but you haven't. Let him have it. Right now, open up that closet. Unlock it. Come on. Walk with me. Unlock that closet right now. Some of you needing this big time. Some of you are needing this. Some of you need this. Come on. I want you to visualize it. Have your eyes closed. I want you to visualize it right now. I want you to visualize you opening up that closet. Taking those padlocks off. You guys ready? Open that door. Open that door right now. Open that door. God ain't looking at you like you're funny. He's not sitting there judging you. He's excited. He's so happy that he's able to come in there and walk in there with you. He says, turn from these things. Here's what I want you to do is I want you to start taking those things off those shelves. If it's fear, if it's addiction, come on. If it's a pornography addiction, if it's alcohol addiction, come on, tobacco addiction, a food issue, a food addiction, whatever it is, you've had it on that shelf for a long time. Take that off the shelf and I want you to just hand it to God. You know what it is. God, I give you this. God, I am placing this in your hands. God, I hand you this pride. I hand you this worry. I hand you this doubt. I hand you this shame. I hand you this fear. I hand you this apathy, this laziness. I hand it to you right now. I hand you this addiction. I hand you this addiction. God, come in my closet. Turn the light on. Clean it up. Stir, God, in me a fresh passion for you, God. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Holy Spirit, come in now. Here's what I want you to raise your hand. Everybody in this room, come on, raise your hand. Get before God. Yeah. Now let him just saturate you in this place. Just receive it in Jesus' name. Oh, man, his presence is so strong in this place. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive it. He's filling your cup right now. He's filling you up in Jesus' name. Oh, shalalalabasata. Yes, God. Fill our cups, Lord. Cultivate our spirit, God. Cultivate this passion right now, God. Oh, we thank you for it. Oh, we thank you for it, God. Cultivate this mind, God. Cultivate my heart, God. Cultivate my ears. Cultivate my mouth, God. Cultivate my heart. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
When you walk out of this place, walk out as you have received today. As you've walked out of here and grabbing the seeds that have been chunked at you today. Because I promise you, when you do that, when you have that mindset of I've received today, you're going to go home and it's going to stir you in the morning. It's going to stir you in the evening time. It's going to stir you. Let it stir you. Let it cultivate your passion. And I tell you what, anticipate. Anticipate vision. Anticipate desire. Anticipate what God has got us for us for Wednesday night. Anticipate for what God has for us next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Anticipate what God has for you when you open up the Word of God throughout the week. When you spend time with Him, anticipate God to rip you apart. Cultivate you. Step on your toes. Let Him do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, I thank you for what you have done in this place. Father, I thank you for your spirit that has just been pouring out in this place. Father, as we walk out of here, God, I don't want anybody to walk out of here the same way. Father, I pray you have just absolutely ripped us all up today. You have stirred all of our hearts, God. As I've been in this Word all week, you've been stirring me and stepping on my toes and doing all kinds of things in me, Lord. I thank you for it. Cultivate us, God. God, I want that to be the forefront of my heart. Cultivate my passion for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's good. Now let's go do the work of God. Amen. You've got co-workers that need you. Let the enemy say, well, that ain't working. The whole world is already seeing Jesus through him. I love that. Chew on that. I love it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I got some announcements real quick. We're going to finish this up. We'll wrap this thing up. Bible study on 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Ladies, you're going to be here at 9 o'clock next Saturday. We got 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Dad at 9. I didn't mess it up. It was Dad, not me. 10 o'clock, Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. Invite somebody. Daniel, invite somebody. Hey, Junior, invite somebody. Hey, Jennifer, since you called me out today with my spelling, invite somebody today, this week. John, yeah, come. I got you. Brian, good to have you today, brother. Invite somebody next Sunday. Let's fill this place up. Amen.